The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its staff, or iHeartMedia.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts, ask a question about glaucoma, find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Filling in for Dr. Tortora, who's away at a conference this weekend. Hope everyone had a great week. We're here to talk about eyes, everything related to eyes, eyeglasses, eye surgery, eye diseases. We'll go over a few interesting cases that we've seen over the past few weeks. Heard some interesting news that came out this week. Some bad news for cat lovers, some good news for dog lovers. Turns out that this study showed that exposure to cats as well as cockroaches may actually increase the risk for glaucoma, while contact with dogs may guard against it. Now, I think our listeners know something about glaucoma. Glaucoma affects the optic nerve. And you might be wondering, why, how is that connection made? Well, it turns out the study showed that people with glaucoma had increased levels of immunoglobulins. These are antibodies related to allergies, and the levels specifically against cat as well as cockroaches were much higher in people with glaucoma and lower in people with contact with dogs. So that's kind of an interesting connection. We really don't know why people get glaucoma. Of course, there's a lot of different types of glaucoma, and the study doesn't specify which type there's a connection with. But we really don't know the exact mechanism, and perhaps this study may shed some light on that disease, which is quite common. We have a lot of patients who have glaucoma in our clinic, and we do our best to treat them and to maintain their sight. So other things that we come across in the clinic, a lot of people come in asking, oh, doctor, I've got this something on my eye, it looks kind of weird, can you check it out? Well, there are a lot of things that we have on our eye that don't really cause any problems. They're benign findings, and oftentimes patients get worried when they're perhaps taking a closer look at their eyes in the mirror. Maybe they have some irritation, they're taking a closer look, and now they find something else, like on the surface of the eye. So what are some of these benign findings that we often come across in the clinic? Well, sometimes people come in and ask, doctor, there's like this whitish or grayish ring around my eyes. I've never noticed that before. Well, most often they're talking about arcus, which is kind of a whitish haze, a circular haze in the circumference of the, on the surface of the eye, right on the cornea. So they probably had this for quite a while. They just never noticed it until they took a closer look in the mirror. And this arcus, or this whitish ring, it's actually cholesterol deposits. Cholesterol, like from our blood, kind of gets deposited in the periphery of the cornea, right on the surface of the eye. It doesn't cause any problems. That doesn't affect your vision, since it's in the periphery. It's not central. And oftentimes, people worry about this because they've never noticed it before. Well, does it mean that your cholesterol levels are high if you have cholesterol on the surface of the eye? Well, not necessarily. Perhaps maybe 50% or half of the people who have this finding may have elevated cholesterol. So it's always a good idea to get checkups, routine checkups, with your primary care doctor. And they always check your cholesterol levels. So that's one thing we encourage in all of our patients who've never had regular follow-ups. So that's arcus. That's that whitish or grayish ring on the surface of the eye. A lot of times we have patients come in asking, oh, doctor, I've got this thing growing, like this bump right on my eye. What is that? I've never had that before. Most often they're talking about a pinguecula. A pinguecula is kind of like an overgrowth on the white part of the eye, usually at around 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, if you're looking right at your eye in the mirror. And this overgrowth is very common. I would say 99% of our patients have a little bit of this pinguacula. And it's just like a little bit of overgrowth of that mucus, the conjunctival covering on the whites of the eye. And it's thought that UV light exposure can encourage these growths to grow a little bit more. And it doesn't cause any problems. We don't do anything about those. Sometimes if that growth it's kind of gets a little bit elevated, a little bit large, it may get a little bit irritated and red. And oftentimes that's when people come in. Other times I've had people where the eyes are completely white. They just happen to notice it in the mirror. Sometimes it has like a yellowish discoloration as well. And that can worry a lot of people. But this is a benign condition. We do encourage that our patients wear sunglasses when outside, if possible, and make sure they're UV-blocking sunglasses. They should have a tag or a sticker when you buy them that says 100% UV-blocking. So those are the best kinds. A lot of people ask about polarized. Oh, my glasses are polarized. That's good enough, right? Well, polarized is different. Polarized lenses reduce glare, so it's great if you're doing sports or if you're fishing, you know, out in the water, it does cut down on glare, but if it's just polarized, it will not cut the UV light. So polarized and UV blocking are completely different. So do make sure it has that sticker or tag that says 100% UV blocking. And make sure they're large enough, too, that it doesn't let too much light in. If they're kind of really small, all the light's going to come in from the side, so the wraparound sunglasses are best. And always wear a hat. That also helps to block light on your eyes as well as your skin. So hat and sunglasses are a good idea. So pinguacula, that's that little bump right on the surface of your eyes. Shouldn't cause any problems. Now, pinguacula is a little bit different from a pterygium. A pterygium is also an overgrowth, kind of on the covering of the eye, but it grows into or onto the cornea. So it kind of covers like the more colored part of your eye. It tends to grow in toward the center. And these usually are benign, but if they're large enough, it can cause problems. So what can happen? Well, these pterygiums, it can actually distort the surface of the eye. And if the surface of the eye is distorted, it could affect your vision. So it causes what's called astigmatism. So usually the surface of the eye, the cornea, is kind of perfectly round like a sphere. However, with any distortion, it becomes less sphere-like. It's not, doesn't have that, you know, spherical shape, and that can affect the vision. So these pterygiums sometimes can cause that distortion, could affect your vision. Even a small one can sometimes do that. Also, if it gets big enough, we don't want it to block your vision, too. It can grow towards the center of your eye. It grows slowly over time, but that's something we watch out for. So on the whole, that's also benign, but if it gets large enough or if it starts to affect your vision, you need to do something about that, and usually that involves surgery. We take it to the operating room, and we cut that pterygium off the surface of the eye. So pinguacula, pterygium, a little bit different entities there. Other things that we see in a clinic that's usually benign, oftentimes people come in saying, oh, doctor, my eye has turned just bright red. It's bloody red. My husband noticed it last night. What's going on? So usually they're talking about a subconjunctival hemorrhage. Now, what does that mean? Well, the conjunctiva is that whitish covering, you know, on the surface of the eye, on the whites of your eye. And sometimes the blood vessels there just burst. They break. And if the blood vessels burst, the blood's going to leak out, and it gets trapped under that space, under the conjunctiva. So that's a subconjunctival hemorrhage. And what causes that? Well, it can just happen out of the blue. You may not have had any trauma or anything, but the blood vessels just burst, and it causes that redness to appear and starts to spread along the whites of your eye. So it can look quite scary. And oftentimes it's the spouse or family member or friend who notices it because there's really no symptoms, there's no pain or anything when this happens. However, it is kind of scary looking, and that's when people often come in. Things associated with this that could have caused this to happen is sneezing, coughing, anything that puts strain on your tummy may make those blood vessels burst. Something we always like to check whenever we have a patient that comes in with this is the blood pressure. Sometimes if the blood pressure is super high, like really, really high, it can cause the blood vessels to burst. So we always like to double check that in our patients who have this conjunctival hemorrhage. When I was a resident, I had a patient who came in with it, really asymptomatic, no pain, eye pain or anything, or blurry vision, just noticed the redness in the eyes, and it turns out his blood pressure was incredibly high. It was super elevated, like an emergent situation, so we sent him to the emergency room. So, yeah, that's one thing we always like to check. Before we go on, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Hi, I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora, Medical Director of the Hawaiian Eye Center. My colleague, Dr. Stephen Rhee, and I enjoy helping people see better.
Sometimes we're keeping people from seeing worse.
Patients ask me, how do I know if I have glaucoma? Unfortunately, you don't. Most glaucoma is only detected with a complete eye examination.
So, if you have cataract, glaucoma, diabetes, or just want new eyeglasses, call us today.
Find us online at HawaiianEye.com or call 733-2020. That spells C-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dr. Steve Rhee. Filling in for Dr. Tortora this morning. We were talking about benign eye findings that we often come across in the office. Another thing we see often that may not be benign sometimes are floaters. Very common, I think almost every day somebody comes in getting a new floater checked out in their eyes. It could be a little bit disturbing when you see things floating around in your vision. And floaters are quite common. A lot of people develop these. What happens is inside the eyeball there's a gel called the vitreous, and over time that vitreous kind of breaks down, becomes less gel-like, a little bit more watery. And when that happens, that gel kind of congeals in the center of your eye, and when light passes through, it casts a shadow on your retina, and people see that as a floater. Again, a very common condition. And when this happens, we do like to do a thorough exam, because when these floaters develop, sometimes they can kind of tug, that gel can tug on the retina and create a tear. So we want to do a very thorough dilated eye exam, checking for tears in the retina. But for the most part, the floaters, you know, don't cause any trouble in the eye. It can be a little bit annoying. Especially if it's right in the center and doesn't really move away. Sometimes they do float away from your vision, doesn't cause any problems, but of course they can always float right back. However, there is that little risk of retinal tear. So if you do have any new floaters or even flashing lights, you see little like sparks of lights in the periphery of your vision, do get it checked out, because we do would like to check for any tears in the retina. And if there is a tear, there's always a risk that the retina may detach over time. And that could really affect your vision. But for the most part, floaters really shouldn't cause any problems. It may be a little bit annoying, but over time, you do get used to them. I myself see floaters as well. I have for a while. And if I look up in the sky, I can see like little spider web type things, little spots floating around in my vision. But I kind of got used to that, used to seeing it. So it doesn't really bother me anymore. But if you do see new floaters in your vision, please see your eye doctor. Other questions that we get asked about glasses, especially a lot of parents with kids who wear glasses or who are told that their kids may need glasses, they always ask, you know, if I wear these glasses or if my child wears glasses, will they kind of become dependent on them? Will their eyes get worse over time? And I always tell them, you know, the glasses will help them to see better. And so that's a good thing. So they should wear them, since it'll help them to see, for distance, for reading, whatever they're prescribed for. And you don't really become dependent on them. You kind of want to use them because it simply helps you to see better. So they don't make your eyes worse over time. Of course, especially with kids, that glasses prescription may simply just change over time too. Especially with the eyes, you know, if they're still growing, I usually tell parents to expect to see some change over time. That's just natural. And the glasses prescription, I tell all of my patients that, you know, that your glasses prescription may slowly, you know, or gradually change over time. And that's just a natural progression that we sometimes see. So don't be too surprised if there's a little bit of a change in the prescription over time. So, upside is the glasses do help you to see better, so I would use them, and it's always a good thing, especially for our drivers out there. Oftentimes I'm surprised when people can, you know, barely see the biggie and they tell me they're still driving. That's kind of scary. When you give them glasses, you know, they're like, oh, I'm amazed by their vision. Wearing glasses shouldn't be harmful. It does help you to see better. Over the past few weeks, we've had a few interesting cases, a lot of them kind of trauma-related, so I thought I'd go over some of these trauma-related cases with you. One of the most common things we see are abrasions on the surface of the eye, or corneal abrasions, which is a scratch on the surface. And this could be related to any type of trauma, either a foreign body or even like kid-related. We see a lot of parents on occasion who come in who've gotten their eyes poked by their little ones. And it could be really painful. You know, the cornea is one of the most sensitive parts of your body, and even the smallest scratch can put you on the floor. Oftentimes we have really, you know, young, you know, big guys like linebacker types who are just writhing in pain, and they just have like the tiniest scratch on the surface of the eye. So it can be quite traumatic and aggravating. And the good news is these abrasions do heal over time. The cornea, the outer layer of the cornea is made up of cells that do regenerate. So those cells grow back, and that scratch heals. Bigger ones may take longer, so we kind of treat them accordingly. So really small ones, we sometimes treat with an antibiotic in case an infection sets in. It depends on the type of trauma, so that's more of a preventative measure. Artificial tears do help to soothe the surface of the eye. And it's just a matter of time before that surface does heal. However, larger ones may take a little bit longer. I've had several dads, it's usually the father, who get poked in the eye by their kids, and oftentimes it leaves like a large scratch on the surface of the eye. These can take a little bit longer, can be quite painful. Sometimes we put a contact lens that acts like a bandage right on the surface, and that provides not only provides comfort, but it also helps with the healing process. So kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a scratch, now the contact lens also acts like a Band-Aid on the surface of the eye. So we see a lot of abrasions, a lot of foreign bodies. We have a lot of grinders, welders, sanders out there while working, get something in the eye. Of course, they're always wearing eye protection, or at least they say so. But a lot of times, something manages to get behind the safety glasses. It always happens. No matter how careful you are, you know, these things could happen. So a lot of times we have people grinding metal. They get a little piece of metal on the surface of the eye. And metal, or most metals, they rust. And we can often see rust developing, like right on the spot where that foreign body is. So we need to kind of remove all that material out. Again, kind of like treating an abrasion. Once that's removed, it leaves a little scratch on the surface, and that should heal nicely. Sometimes these foreign bodies, especially metallic ones or metal ones, can leave a scar even after it's removed. And for the most part, if that scar is in the periphery of the cornea, it doesn't cause any problems. But on occasion, I've had a few unfortunate patients who've had the foreign body land smack in the middle of the eye, and left a scar, which could affect the vision down the line. Everyone sanding, grinding, welders out there, please do be careful and make sure you have adequate eye protection. Other types of trauma, blunt trauma. We have a lot of people who've come in, get punched in the eye, or have fallen and hit their eye on something. That can cause some damage to the eye itself. Sometimes we can see bleeding in the front part of the eye called a hyphema, which needs to be treated appropriately. Other times the blunt trauma can be so excessive that the bony wall structure, the orbit, you know, in the skull where the eyeball sits, can fracture. So the eyeball is in the orbit, like in the eye socket, I think most people would say, in the skull, and the socket kind of lined with bone, and that bone is fairly thin. It's almost like a potato chip. That's how thin it is, those walls, especially on the floor, on the bottom part. And if a person has blunt trauma, that force can shatter the bone. I've had, I think, two people over the past 2 weeks come in with blunt trauma who ended up getting these fractures of the orbit, of the orbital wall. So, you know, if that happens, you know, what happens to the eye itself? What do we look out for? With any trauma, there's inflammation, there's swelling of the tissues around the eye. A lot of times these people can come in complaining of double vision because the swelling around the tissue prevents the eyes from moving correctly, so they end up with double vision. In young kids, these orbital fractures can be quite serious because the bone isn't as brittle as in an older person, and that floor, it can kind of close up and entrap the muscles, the eye muscles. So that's kind of a medical emergency. So people who've had these orbital fractures, especially if they're kids, we tend to look at them a little bit more, I treat them a little bit more aggressively than if they were an adult. So the two patients that came in, they were older. One of them got punched in the eye, and the other just happened to kind of fall down, I think off her bed, and hit her eye on the nightstand, and she ended up fracturing the orbit. One of them did end up having some double vision afterwards, and hopefully that will resolve over time as the inflammation dies down. So they both should be doing okay. Other traumatic things that we see in the eye, if there's any bleeding in the front part, as I talked about, hyphema, sometimes we need to treat that aggressively. Sometimes the eye pressure can go up if there's a lot of bleeding in the front part of the eye. So even if you've had like even what you would consider like a minor trauma to the eye, and you don't have that much pain, but you do have some blurry vision or maybe some eye redness, do get it checked out, because if you do have any amount of bleeding there in the front, that needs to get checked, especially if you end up having some elevated eye pressures there. And we also want to check the inside of the eye too, because you can imagine with any blunt trauma, the inside of the eye could get affected. On occasion, I've seen people who've had retinal tears or even a detachment from blunt trauma to the eyeball. Before we go over some other cases, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
If you win our $50,000 grand prize, you could build an addition to your house.
Hi, Dad.
For your son.
I'm ready to move in.
Whose four-year degree in puppetry hasn't led to a job.
Nice marionette.
Listen for the cue to text keyword for your chance to pocket $1,000 and a $50,000 grand prize.
Listen to win $1,000 instantly. And get in to win the $50,000 grand prize. Monday morning at 8 a.m. with Rick Hamada on News Radio 830 KHBH. Sponsored by Veterans United Home Loans.
Do you have any evidence that a crime...
As a top ABC anchor, to give this money to the Clinton Foundation, his history of having been a paid operative for Bill and Hillary Clinton...
Please welcome, folks, B.B. King.
The latest news feed at the top and bottom of the hour.
It's not about fun. The train was going twice the speed limit.
Breaking news as it happens.
Knowing what we know now...
Stay connected.
I would not have gone into Iraq.
This is News Radio 830 KHVH.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want that youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Steve Ree. We're talking about trauma to the eye. And one other thing that we see on occasion, and I don't know if this you consider this trauma, is crown flower sap exposure. I think... A lot of people know what crown flowers are. They're used to make leaves, I believe. And a lot of people just have them in their yard. On occasion, people who are working on these trees, the sap goes right into their eye. And what can happen is it causes this inflammatory response. It causes a lot of inflammation on the eye. And it could really, really affect your vision, cause a lot of pain. So... You know, every once in a while we have somebody come in with this. So what do we see? What am I seeing when I see these patients? Well, sometimes they do have a really large abrasion, that outer layer of the cornea. It looks like it's almost sloughed off. The cornea itself is really swollen. And when the cornea is swollen, it gets cloudy. And you can imagine if the surface of your eye, if the cornea is cloudy, if that window is cloudy, you're not going to see well at all. So a lot of times they can barely see the big E on the eye chart. That's how swollen it is. And the eye is really red. So it's just out of the blue, you know, people working on their yards, the crown flower sap just lands right on their eye. And the response is almost immediate. Like right away, they develop this inflammation. So we do need to treat them accordingly, usually giving them a steroid drop, which is an anti-inflammatory drop, really does the trick. It helps a lot. I was reading in countries where the crown flowers are prevalent, they make sure that they don't grow above like waist height. You know, I've never seen one in real life, so I don't know how big they can get. But they do make sure that they don't, you know, grow above the waist or the chest, simply because, you know, they don't want the sap to fall in their eyes. So I thought that was interesting and pretty smart way to handle that. Other things that we've seen, other interesting cases, something that also is common, and I've been seeing a lot of this lately, is pink eye. I know we've talked about this a lot in the past, but I've been seeing a lot more cases of pink eye recently. So pink eye, what we term as pink eye, is a viral conjunctivitis and a viral infection on the surface of the eye. And it can be kind of benign. The course can be benign, but then we can see some more severe cases as well. And I've been seeing the whole spectrum over the past few weeks. So usually a person has some irritation, some redness, possibly some itching, a little bit of discharge. A lot of people who have pink eye, in the mornings it's hard to even open their eyes. They seem to be glued shut. And it always happens in one eye first, and a few days later they notice the same symptoms in the other eye. So that's the classic kind of presentation of pink eye. However, you know, a lot of things can cause redness, irritation, tearing, stuff like that. So sometimes it's kind of hard to differentiate pink eye from other things. So it could be an allergy. You know, people who have allergies in their eyes often present with itching, tearing, redness. So, you know, how do you tell the difference? Well, for me, the history is really important. If it starts in one eye and goes to the other after a few days, you know, that's kind of classic. If they have the matting of the lashes and discharge and difficulty opening the eyes in the morning, that's kind of a classic presentation as well. Sometimes it's really difficult to tell the difference. And you know, for me, it's kind of important to kind of nail down a diagnosis, because if it's pink eye, you may be putting this person out of work or the child out of school. So you want to get it right. And something that helps us is a test that we can perform in the office. There is a test that we can use to detect that virus. And so it's kind of a little, it almost looks like a pregnancy test. Actually, it almost looks exactly like a pregnancy test. We take a little sample from the surface of your eye, we kind of dip it in a special chemical and let it process. And we're looking for those like blue strips or blue indicators, exactly like a pregnancy test that you buy at the pharmacy. And so that's been really helpful, especially in cases that are a little bit, you know, unclear if it is indeed a viral infection. So again, the severity can vary. Some people just get a little bit of redness, a little bit of discharge, lasts like a week or two, and then that's it. For others, it can last a lot longer. I know when I had pink eye years ago, it seemed to go on for like over a month in both eyes. I mean, it did get better after week by week, but the symptoms did seem to linger. In other people, they develop these membranes. These membranes form on the inner surface of the eyelids, and it can be quite irritating. These membranes are formed by like inflammatory cells, and it just like kind of collects on the inner surface of your eyelids. And every time you blink, it's rubbing against the surface of your eye. So a lot of times I've seen the cornea like end up with what looks like an abrasion. All the outer cells have been kind of sloughed off by this membrane. So whenever we see that, we need to peel those off. And I know it sounds kind of weird, but by peeling it, it just helps the eye to heal. Other people who have severe pink eye. It can develop like an immune reaction on the cornea. They end up with these little white spots, which need to be treated a little bit differently. So oftentimes we do have people come back after about a week to check for this immune reaction. So pink eye, though, in most cases, it does go away within like 2 weeks at least. But for a certain few people, they can have a severe form, and that could affect the vision down the line. So, you know, other infections that we see on occasion are infections of the cornea. I know we talked about like contact lens related ulcers. The contact lens sometimes can irritate the surface of the eye, and with enough irritation, bacteria can set in on the surface and cause a lot of problems. So usually people come in with eye redness, a lot of pain. These ulcers can sometimes be really devastating. We talked about a foreign body. If it's like right in the middle of the eye, it leaves a scar, and that could affect the vision. Well, corneal infections are the same. If it's down the periphery, shouldn't cause any problems. But if it's central, that ulcer will leave a scar, and that could affect the vision. So anybody who've had severe ulcers in the past of the cornea may have had even like a corneal transplant down the line to help improve the vision. So we always encourage our contact lens wearers to remove the contacts, firstly, if the eyes are irritated or red or feel scratchy. And if they are red and irritated, please don't put a contact lens in your eye. We always encourage our contact lens wearers to have a backup pair of glasses too, so in case these situations arise. We oftentimes come across people with contacts who don't have glasses at all. So from waking up in the morning to going to bed at night, you know, they've got a contact in their eye all day long, and we've had people come in with eyes that are beet red and the contact's still in there. So make sure you do have a backup pair of glasses in case, you know, problems arise like that. So other things that we come across in the office, headaches. A lot of people come in with headaches of unknown, you know, reason. Then their doctors kind of send them our way. So why is that? Why would your primary care doctor want to get your eyes checked out if you have headaches? They want us to check your vision, firstly, because eye strain can cause headaches. You know, if you have blurry vision and you're straining your eyes to see better, that can cause a lot of discomfort, especially people who are, you know, getting a little bit older, approaching the 40s. Perhaps their reading vision is getting a little bit more blurry. They tend to strain a lot. And, you know, they kind of haven't accepted the fact that, their reading vision is starting to go. So that's, you know, kind of one population set where we come across people with headaches of unknown origin. So when we test their vision, we can see if they do have a need for glasses. So that's one of the main reasons why your primary care doctor may want you to see an eye doctor if you have headaches. Oftentimes, people may not have any vision issues. So at least we can rule that out. Of course, glasses, if there is a need, is a quick fix. So if you do have headaches like that and you're kind of straining to see, if you're noticing especially your near vision is being affected, perhaps you're pulling away and you feel your arms aren't long enough anymore, you should get your eyes checked out. All right, before we go on, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out.
That's it. We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Hey, welcome back. This is Dr. Steve Rhee. We were talking about a few interesting cases in the clinic. Now, something else we come across is just sudden vision loss. You can imagine that can be kind of scary if you kind of suddenly realize that you can't see out of one eye or even both eyes. So, you know, what are some causes of painless or sudden vision loss that we've come across? Well, believe it or not, on occasion we have people with really dense cataracts who come in saying, "Oh, yeah, I can't see out of one of my eyes all of a sudden." Well, you know, cataracts don't form, you know, out of the blue like that, all of a sudden. So oftentimes what's happening is the patient, the person has good vision in one eye, and the other eye has a really dense cataract. So they when they're seeing with both eyes open, they're seeing all right. You know, they're seeing out of their good eye, but for some odd reason, they may have like kind of closed their good eye, and all of a sudden they're not seeing well out of the cataract eye. So we do come across that on occasion. And the cataract would have to be pretty dense, you know, for them to notice that. So, and that can, you know, easily be, you know, treated with cataract surgery. What else can cause this vision loss? Well, people who have had cataract surgery, they have an implant in their eye. And the implant kind of acts as a lens, helps you to see better. Sometimes, like a film develops behind that implant, what we call like a capsular opacity. And it happens in about 20% of people who've had cataract surgery. And this film kind of grows behind the implant. It can kind of thicken up, and it can cloud your vision. So sometimes I've had patients come in, "Oh, you know, doctor, you know, I can't seem to see as well, you know, out of my cataract surgery eye anymore. You know, what's going on?" So people who have this film, the vision does decrease. So it's kind of like you can imagine like spreading like a Vaseline or something like on a window. You know, you're not going to see clearly. So what can we do? Well, we can do a procedure in the office with a laser, and the laser clears up that film, and that improves their vision, like almost instantaneously. So that's something we see commonly. People who've had cataract surgery in the past, you know, they all of a sudden notice that one eye, they're not seeing well anymore. Also, with that condition, people often notice increased glare. Yeah, people who have cataracts notice at nighttime they see a lot of headlight glare and halos, and that usually resolves after cataract surgery. However, people who develop that film, they often say, "Oh, you know what? It seems like I've got my cataract back again, doctor. Can the cataract grow back?" Well, the cataract itself isn't growing back. They're just developing that film behind the implant. And again, that can be treated with a laser procedure in the office. What else can cause sudden vision loss? Well, We see a lot of patients with diabetes. Diabetes affects your whole body, including the eyes. People whose sugars are kind of out of control for a while, the blood vessels can get a little bit leaky. We see some bleeding on the retina. And in severe cases, abnormal blood vessels can grow in the back of the eye, and these blood vessels can leak blood, and their eye kind of fills up with blood, and that can cause sudden vision loss. People notice, oh, doctor, I've noticed these floaters, and all of a sudden my vision is cloudy, I can't see a thing. So that's one cause of sudden vision loss. And so we always encourage our diabetic patients to get their eyes checked out at least once a year. Usually the primary care doctors do encourage at least an annual visit, because these diabetic changes can happen and your vision may be perfect. So oftentimes we see people with 20/20 vision and yet they have these diabetic changes in their eyes that needs to be addressed. So better to treat it before the more severe retinal changes happen in the eye. So before, earlier in the show, we talked about floaters and a possibility of tears or retinal detachment. Well, people who have retinal detachment, their vision can decrease suddenly. So usually people who have retinal detachments, they have kind of an onset of floaters and flashes prior. And over time, they may develop this detachment. And that's kind of a medical or ocular emergency that needs to be treated quickly. So anyone with new onset of floaters should get that checked out, just on the small chance that there may be a tear or even a detachment. If there's a tear, that may be treated with lasers. A laser kind of spot welds the retina, kind of tacks it down around the area of the tear, so detachment doesn't form. So, you know, in ophthalmology, I feel we're kind of lucky because we get to use a lot of lasers when we're treating our patients, which is, you know, kind of fun. You know, I'm a big fan of technology, and this is one of the things that kind of attracted me to the field. So lasers we use to treat that film that we talked about. Lasers are also used now in surgery. For cataract surgery, for a long time we used this technology called phacoemulsification, which is an ultrasound technology that's used to break up the cataract, and those broken pieces are removed. Now we have laser technology to help with certain aspects of the cataract surgery. We actually have a caller, Don.
Yes, good morning, Doc.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I got a question. I have a grandniece. She's about 11. She was diagnosed with the eye is not rounded. It's kind of horrible. She wears glasses. Is that the only way you can fix that problem, or is there something medically surgical that they can fix the eye to be rounded?
Okay, so oval eye, round eye. So I'm not quite sure what she has.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, you know, if it's the front part on the cornea, sometimes the cornea, the shape gets a little bit distorted. There are certain conditions that can cause that distortion. There's something called keratoconus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that sounds familiar. Where the cornea, the shape is less like a sphere. You know, it's not like, it should be more like a basketball, but in keratoconus, it gets a little bit distorted, kind of pointy, more like a football. I know that's kind of an exaggeration.
Uh-huh.
And that can cause, you know, a lot of vision, like problems and blurriness and all that.
Yeah.
So depending on the extent, if it is, you know, that condition, there are different, you know, treatments for that. Initially, if the glasses do help to correct the vision,
uh-huh.
you know, that's the first step. If the vision kind of worsens over time and the glasses don't help out, the next step we sometimes go to our contact lenses. I don't know if that was brought up. And then, you know, there are different types of contacts, of course. There's soft contacts, and there's also what's called a rigid or hard contacts, which do help out in people who do have that condition.
What's the cause of that? Is it because when they were born with a malfunction in the eye?
There are certain, it all goes back to genes, you know. Some people do just are more prone to getting that condition.
Right.
It's nothing that they're doing. Actually, sometimes like eye rubbing can make that condition worse, and I'm speaking specifically of keratoconus.
Mm-hmm.
So we discourage people who have that condition from rubbing their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kids, I don't know how old your niece is, but some kids who have allergies, like a lot of eye allergies, who end up rubbing their eyes constantly, can actually develop something like keratoconus. They do develop a lot of astigmatism because the eye rubbing can distort the shape, you know, of the eyes. So that's
what blindness also.
You know, it all depends on how extensive it is. I've seen where there's a little bit of distortion, some astigmatism, and the contacts or glasses do help. In other people where it's more severe, it's so distorted that even the contacts may not help out, and that may require surgery. There's a new treatment called corneal cross-linking that's undergoing FDA approval. Hopefully it will be approved soon, where the surface of the eye is treated with special medication and along with light treatment. It helps to strengthen the corneal surface, so that may be an option. But, you know, when that distortion is there, that's called keratoconus. There are also different other types of what's called corneal ectasias. That's kind of the term, the general term that's used. There is like stepwise treatment. So initially, you know, the goal is to improve the vision.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about things getting into the eye. How about eyelashes? Sometimes that can also irritate the eye too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I sometimes if I have irritation, the first thing I check when I look at my eye in the mirror is if I have like a stray lash in there.
Yeah.
So, sometimes that can cause irritation. Some people, the lashes kind of grow inward.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be, you know, really irritating. And,
yeah.
You know, and sometimes if we pluck them out, they grow right back.
Right.
You know, there's certain conditions where the lids turn in. Entropion, especially like in our older patients that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's bothersome and if it's scratching the surface and causing a lot of corneal irritation,
mm-hmm.
There is surgical correction of the eyelid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that covered in medical or not really?
The entropion surgery?
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, that's a medical condition. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and what's done is the lid is kind of tightened a little bit, so it's everted. Of course, you can have the opposite condition where the lid kind of goes the other way, causing a lot of exposure. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, that can happen where the lid's turned in and the lashes are rubbing constantly.
Right.
Yeah, and that can be treated.
Thanks a lot, Doc.
Yeah, great questions. You too. Thank you.
Well.
Thank you. All right, so that's all the time we have for this morning. Thanks for listening. And yeah, for any of you guys out there who do have any eye issues, when we talked about floaters, abrasions, headaches, please get your eyes checked out. All right, have a great week. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-20.
I am in awe of your ability to put words together.
News Radio 830.
I got this thrill running up my leg.
KHBH.